CityTalk 105.9 official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. Downtown Liverpool in business. CityTalk 105.9.
Good morning and welcome to you all on this Sunday morning to City Talk's Business with Frank McKenna on City Talk 105.9. My name's Roger Jonas and I am the events manager for Downtown in Business, regarded as the most influential business membership organisation in the Northwest. I'll be standing in for Frank today, who is currently on a trip to Italy. I think it's something to do with a request from the Pope or something along those lines. I'm joined by three guests in the studio this morning, all with a bit of a media influence. That'll give you a clue as to what we're going to talk about. First is Emma Dolan from Your Business eZine. Christine Chelyou. Now, is that how you pronounce it, Christine?
It is.
Chelyou, yeah. From Chelyou Productions. And last but certainly not least, Roger Appleton from Bright Moon Media. Welcome to you all.
Morning.
Good morning. Right, I said there's a media influence. We'll come on to that in a bit. First of all, I want to come to you first of all, Emma. There's been a lot of profile regards Google in Liverpool this last week. Mm. Google have basically launched a three-month drive to provide advice and support to small businesses. Matt Britton, the managing director of the Internet, the UK's operation, I think, has been here in the city at a launch, which I think was on Thursday evening.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And the concept is that Liverpool really is lagging quite far behind rival cities in its use of internet for business, and that includes Manchester, just up the road, London, Leeds, and Bristol, which is pretty appalling when you look at the potential for online business.
Yeah.
You run Your Business eZine.
I do,
which is an online
business network.
Right.
You know, there's lots of business networks out there in regards to being online, like social media, but what we try to do is incorporate business networks with people in a networking environment and encourage them to network online as well. So the actual platform that we have encourages our members to upload their own press releases, talk about what's going on within their industry, and give advice back into the business community.
Okay. And I must ask, as a business during these hard times, how's it going?
It's actually going fantastic. We only launched the platform in May itself, but the platform itself is going fantastic. I think people have realised that actually they need exposure. You know, it's okay to reduce that marketing budget when times are hard, but you have to be still seen and get that brand awareness and get out there as much as possible. So Your Business eZine is basically there to get people the brand awareness they need and to get them to the exposure that they need to businesses, to continue to be seen as a leader within their industry.
And are you being well received by the business community as a membership organisation?
We certainly are, yeah. We thought when we launched, obviously we are a business network, as Downtown are, but we want to work with other networks. You know, we're certainly being well received. The Chamber of Commerce are using the platform daily. They are actually our most common users on there, as is Downtown in Business. Liverpool Vision are on there, so it is being well received. And Gary Miller's a fan as well. It's something that businesses have realised that it's a hub for businesses to go to and find out what's going on.
That will be Councillor Gary Miller.
Councillor Gary Miller.
I do apologise. No, Gary's a great friend of mine and I love him dearly. And he is ubiquitous. He gets everywhere.
He is. And he's a bit of a techie as well. We don't call them techies anymore. They're geeks. So he does like what we're doing. And one of the things that Frank McKenna had mentioned, which I'm really pleased that he brought this up, is that it's somewhere that you can get positive news which is going on in the city, the positive things that are happening with businesses across Liverpool.
Because Liverpool does kind of have a reputation, doesn't it, for always being a little bit negative in its news.
Yes, it does, but negativity sells, you know. We can't blame the newspapers for doing that. People still want to know what's going on. But in this present climate, we do need to start encouraging people to be a little bit more positive. Mm. And you know, there's some fantastic things happening. You mentioned Google there, Google coming to Liverpool. It's a major thing.
I mean, it's a pilot scheme as well. And
it all is.
You know, I think, you know, where Matt Britton's criticism is that Liverpool is sort of low on the ladder in terms of its internet use. You know, for them to have that kind of faith to come into Liverpool. And I know that you know, you mentioned a few organisations there, Liverpool Vision, Chamber of Commerce, Downtown Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool Federation for Small Businesses and Women in Business and Business Link Northwest are all working with Google to help run the events, a series of events over this pilot scheme over the next 3 months. And I think it's remarkable that Google, which is a global brand, you know, I mean, in the same way that now you know we refer to hoovering as the term for vacuuming, I think you refer to Google as the term for surfing the net, which.
Yeah.
You know, it's remarkable the way it's become an industry leader. And for the fact that they're here in Liverpool and have the faith to invest the time and the energy and the resource that they are.
Well, I do honestly think that I've been saying all year, it's about small businesses right now. They were throwing some stats around at the Google launch on Thursday about where Liverpool should be and how many businesses should exist in Liverpool. And we are behind on that. Google are given an opportunity to people to become an online business. And you said we're lacking in being online, in e-commerce businesses particularly. And that's where they're trying to encourage people to have online businesses so that their business is solely online. You know, people who are starting businesses don't have the budget right now. They haven't got the $5,000 in the bank to go and pay the web designer to do the websites. But what Google are actually doing is giving them the opportunity to get started, to create the revenue, to then go and pick the phone up and phone the web designers. Because web designers are suffering quite badly right now. And they're adapting in different ways through social media and in email marketing, in other ways. But what they're trying to do is fantastic within the city. And I think it's been welcomed. I know I spoke to Max Steinberg from Liverpool Vision last night, and he was extremely excited about Google being here.
And rightly so. You know,
yes.
I think we're quite excited about the opportunities for businesses, because I guess, you know, everybody's suffering at the moment. There's the threat of redundancy across the board. We struggle as a nation at the moment. We struggle as a globe, and I think that there are so few answers, but so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in terms of business growth, I think this potentially for Liverpool, if people listen, and if people make use of the opportunity that Google is placing before them, that, you know, we could see some great things happening.
Yep.
Right, well, great. Let's come to you, Christine. Christine Chellew from Chellew Productions. Just give us a little bit of a rundown on what Chellew Productions is all about.
Okay, hi. We're a full, complete event management company, Roger, in the sense that we do everything from kind of event consultation right the way through to delivery. And we also have unique packaged entertainment as well. So we can provide speakers, comics, entertainers, and we actually tailor packages together as well. So we produce shows in a really unique and fun and different way.
How do you do that? I mean, I'm the events manager for Downtown, and we're always looking at different ways in which we can present events, and you know, we do two pretty legendary dinners in Liverpool, the Liverpool Business Awards at the Palm House, and Liverpool in November. Liverpool in November is a great opportunity for me to let my hair down, and have fun with it. You know,
of course, yeah.
You know, you're making this claim, Christine, that you do things in a unique way. I have this argument because people say, "What's your USP or unique selling point?" Excuse me, I kind of don't think that word unique exists anymore. I think it should be different selling point. And it's something, you know, I'm quite happy to stand on my soapbox and challenge, because I think there are so few businesses that do things that are unique anymore.
True.
It's, I think it's more doing a different style.
Absolutely.
I'm putting you on the spot here. Come
it's
on,
okay,
what's unique
Rod?
About your...
Okay. I think absolutely true. And going back to, you know, all the things we're talking about, business in this climate, it's tough, you know.
Yeah.
And I knew getting into this, the competition is fierce with what I do,
yeah.
which is great. There's some people and fantastic companies in this city doing what I do, and credit to them for that. What makes me a little bit different is, first and foremost, I was a dancer, performer, and I trained in a traditional sense. I went to a stage school, I wanted to perform and did all the acting, singing classes and all of that stuff. Rheumatoid arthritis at 21 changed that dramatically for me. So my health took me down a different road. I went off and bravely thought, oh, well, I'll go to uni as a bit older, because I did training when I was younger. Did a degree in contemporary theatre practice, which I thought I was going to do classical, kind of really serious dramas, and it became nothing like that. And it really challenged my whole perception of performance, entertainment and art. And I found the passion in that, with using the creative and the choreographic skills that I had as a choreographer, dancer, that passion within, to kind of translate that to a canvas and play with it and see what I could do. So when I finished the degree and I had that whole experience, I pursued a master's in theatre production in contemporary art. And that was what the journey began with me to set up Chelly Productions, because at the time, a final project, funny enough, fell in love with Liverpool all over again as a city. And I started to look at Liverpool as a port city, looking at Liverpool's music, culture and heritage, researching, I'm a Liverpool fan, but looking into the sport, music, all of this stuff, and did a project that was on a bus travelling through the city, engaging with the landscapes, loads of actors, a load of singers and a load of madness. We took it through St George's Hall, got, you know, all around the gardens, and I thought, my tutor said, there's something a bit different. I was always told at uni I'd be great in event management, and I used to feel really offended, because he used to say, you tell me I can't act, you tell me I can't sing, you're great with people. And I used to, even when I was doing my master's and we were talking about career paths, you know, what we were going to do, but I started to understand now what they mean by that. So what I did was, with Chelly Productions, I thought, okay, well, we're going to look at the entertainment packages, but I'm going to kind of almost write little mini shows within shows, if you like, and I'll bring in all my kind of expertise to put stuff together in a traditional theatrical sense, and I'll come up with some concepts. So an example of that, I worked with the Rhys Jones Fund for 2 years, which I absolutely adored. Still in contact and work with them, and I produced some events for them in fundraising, and we came up with the Sport and Heroes Live, which was again about kind of taking the artist and writing a script and pulling it all together and getting some sound effects in there and whatever else.
So it is different.
So it is okay. A little bit different.
Yeah, but it's not unique.
Unique.
I'm being devil's advocate. What's the ratio, say, between the corporate stuff you do against the maybe the charity work that you do?
Probably a little bit 50-50 at the moment, right. Although we're doing much more corporate stuff. I mean, I've got into one of my clients, Formby Hall Golf and Spa. I produce their wedding show every year for them. And I've just been speaking to them about this up-and-coming one in October. I'm doing some ladies' lunches in the city. And again, it's about supporting women's business networks and supporting kind of other venues.
Which,
and bringing,
I have to say, downtown has focused very much on women in business at executive board level, et cetera, over the last 18 months, I guess. So, you know,
absolutely fantastic. And I think, you know, there's a lot of great things happening in the city for people in business and for women. And so, you know, I've got a very small business in the sense of I've got one member of staff and myself, you know, and just sometimes you work hard all day long. It's nice to go out and meet with other like-minded women, or to let your hair down in the same way you do in the awards, where I'm putting on a dinner, but actually I'm looking forward to getting a lot of women together in a room, having a good chat and a chin up. People can network if they want to, but actually it's about enjoying ourselves as well. So we've got 62 Castle Street, we're doing something with them. I'm still continuing my charity work, because with working with the Rhys Jones Fund and having a passion with young people, because I spent 6 years as a dance teacher, so I worked with kids of all ages. I met and was moved by so many stories, and so many of them stories of the smaller charities in the city that are struggling or need that support, and you come into contact with families that have had bereavement or families that need support in whatever way. And I just like to give that little bit back. It's something that I'm genuinely kind of moved a little bit by. So I like to carry that on. However, I want to be doing much more in the corporate world, you know, and downtown's given me a great opportunity to do that.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I hope downtown works for you. I'm absolutely convinced that it will. Great stuff. Well, we found out what the two ladies do. We're coming up to a break shortly, and when we come back, poor old Roger, great name by the way, Rog, like that name, good man, good man. He's been sitting in the corner like a good little boy, sucking his thumb. we shall talk about your company, which is Bright Moon Media, when we come back after this break.
Downtown Liverpool in business. City Talk 105.9.
Right, welcome back. We've just been speaking before the break to Emma Dolan from Your Business E-Zine and Christine Chellew from Chellew Productions. And bye, they can both talk. And as I said, poor old Roger sitting there in the corner sucking his thumb. Rog, can I call you Rog?
You can indeed, if you wish.
You can call me Rog too.
Thank you.
Or Sir, whichever one feels Sir. More comfortable. Bright Moon Media, tell us a little bit about it. I know what it's about. Imagine I don't.
Okay, well, it was interesting to hear what Emma was saying before about Google coming to the city and what that's doing for Liverpool, because I come from what you might call a traditional television and film-making background, making films for Granada Television, BBC, Channel 5. And I spent about maybe 2 years of my life recently producing a broadband TV channel, which was all about addiction treatment and recovery.
Right,
and it was really refreshing because it meant I didn't have to get on a train up and to back and to London to pitch ideas to executives in broadcasters. So I got quite into the idea of making films for broadband. And then in a discussion I had with a colleague, we were saying that kind of 20 years ago, companies didn't have websites. Virtually no company had a website. Now you're almost not a company if you've not got a website. Yeah. Everyone expects you to have one. And I think that most websites at the moment probably don't have film on them. But I suspect in 5 years, maybe 10 years' time, every website will have film content on it. And so there's probably a kind of a vein of work to be mined over the next 5 to 10 years of producing films for broadband, for internet and for people's websites.
Is there a difference in producing films for a website or as opposed to films for the television? I mean, I'm thick. I don't know. Is it a different format or?
I think one of the things firstly is that by and large people like short films on the internet. They're not prepared to sit there for 60 minutes to watch something. Yeah. But I think that there's a quality that you need to bring to the internet film, which is the same as television. In other words, you need to make it watchable. And we've all sat around watching corporate films in the 80s and the 90s, which were excruciating and which were kind of maybe telling a story about a company or about a process, but weren't terribly interesting to watch. And I think the challenge for making film for the internet is it has to be as watchable as television, because I think people's perception of what they want to see is very high. You know, people are used to watching very, very well-produced programmes on television, high budgets, lots of stars in them. Mm. The challenge is to make something on the internet as interesting as that. And one of the things that Bright Moon Media say is that we bring broadcast quality production to the internet.
I mean, now, I guess if you've got that kind of experience in the industry, it's something that you can now transfer to your company now.
It is, yeah. And I think that most people's perception of what broadcast quality is to do with the picture quality or the pixelation or this and that. Actually, I think it's nothing to do with that. It's to do with the ability to tell a story in an interesting way and engage with people. And so that for me is the challenge, really.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, Bright Moon Media are still making corporate productions for people, and we're also making broadcast TV programmes. So one of the interesting programmes that we're in partnership with a company called Get Back Films, which has been created solely for one production, and that is hopefully starting next month, and it's a two-hour documentary about the history of Liverpool music.
Wow.
From 1839 to the present day. Now, you might ask me why 1839.
It's because you remember it well.
it's actually because Herman Melville,
writer of
Moby Dick, came to Liverpool in 1839 and did a beautiful piece of writing that described it as being a very musical city. So that's quite a nice starting point for the film. And so we'll go from there right the way through to young bands now.
Brilliant.
And tell the story.
One to watch, I reckon.
I hope so.
I mean, there's obviously a synergy here between Your Business E-Zine and Bright Moon Media.
Absolutely.
Can news be told and be exciting instead of like negative?
news. Yeah,
I
absolutely. And something that was said in the Google launch on Thursday, I'm not going to quote, I'll say it, but it's probably going to be wrong, but 40 hours of video is uploaded onto YouTube every minute. 40 hours.
Wow.
And people are watching video far more than they're reading news. Mm-hmm. And so people have to get into this frame of mind. I know I've spoken to Roger and Bright Moon Media before, because Your Business E-Zine, as most online businesses, have to get into that frame of mind of having videos on there. Mm. You know, I'd much rather watch a video than sit and read through something, wouldn't you? It's just, but
well, yeah, I watch the Sky News channels all mm-hmm. the time, and well, not all the time, because they just repeat themselves time and time and time and time again, which I guess is kind of new television. You know, you get in there, you catch it, and you don't need to watch any more. And this is what I mentioned, you know, I said to you about, can news be made interesting? I get stuck sometimes with the tedious format of news.
Mm.
News in my job, and news in downtown, is very valuable. It's something that we need to study and follow.
I think that's where we can't forget the creative industries, because the likes of what Roger is doing, it's his job to make it interesting. Mm. You mentioned the corporate videos of the 80s, where you would get a static headshot of somebody being asked questions. That's not going to float my boat. If I'm going to watch it, I'm going to switch off quite early, and I won't remember anything about what that company does, whether it be news or whether it be a pitch for a product or a service. So it's got to be interesting, it's got to be different, and I think, like anything right now, you've got to think outside of the box.
It's also the way we kind of learn and understand the news, in terms of the way the brain works, you know, right-brained people, mm-hmm. if you like, the creatives. You know, we like pictures, we like music, we like the creative outputs that Roger and his company produce. And also, if the news can be engaging in that way, that it's got music, it's got movement, it's got dynamic, we actually retain it more. You know, the scientific facts that prove that about the way the brain receives information and it's retained. Mm. So I think if it is interesting and engaging, people will listen and understand that message clearer.
Roger, if I just give you a quick concrete example of that.
Yeah.
We've been doing some work with the Hope Street Centre, on Hope Street, strangely enough, and Lancaster University. And there's a guy there who kind of is resplendent under a wonderful title of, he's a Professor of Complexity, which is just a bit of a gift for a filmmaker, really, I suppose. But anyway, he had two...
You've just said that, and behind in the studio, Larry Neild has just walked past. And I've always seen Larry Neild as being a sort of nutty professor. Give him that little wave.
So we were working with this Professor of Complexity. He wanted to get across what for me, anyway, is a fairly dry piece of subject matter, which was something called the Stacey Diagram, which is like a graph that will demonstrate something that happens in the public sector. And he wanted to stand in front of a whiteboard, draw it out and explain it. And I thought, well, you know, I don't want to make programmes that look like Open University 1979 programmes. So I persuaded him to go on what was possibly the stormiest, rainiest, windiest day possible onto West Kirby Beach with an umbrella, and got him to actually draw the diagram out on the beach, which allowed him then to stride round the diagram and actually talk about it. So that then becomes an engaging film to watch, as opposed to a man in front of a whiteboard.
I have seen that, by the way, and it does look stunning as well.
Peter Snow did exactly the same thing for me with the elections, with his swingometer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as soon as they introduced that kind of technology where it plays with your mind, but actually, it's so easy to watch. And he's very compelling, isn't he, as a presenter. So I guess that's a very similar...
And I think we've got to thank people, to be fair, people like Professor Brian Cox, you know, who's done his two recent series and has literally gone round the planet and explained things in such visually engaging ways. Well, you can't stick people in front of whiteboards anymore. You just can't do it.
I think Brian Cox, to be fair, has got another asset that young ladies tend to like as well. You know, he's a good-looking lad, isn't he? And,
he is. Ex-pop star, of course.
Absolutely.
Keyboard player in D-Ream. Things can only get better.
Jonathan, our producer, will know that.
And he's also like the smiliest man I think we've ever seen. Ever.
And
makes your heart
more teeth
go
than red rum.
I have to say, I'm going to go against the grain here. I find that quite irritating.
Do you?
He just smiles constantly.
Oh, and I think he's lovely.
What is interesting about his programme is that... apparently the applications for physics degrees have gone through the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Since those programmes have been broadcast. Yeah. And, in fact, my 15-year-old daughter has announced recently she wants to become a particle physicist.
Who doesn't?
Wow.
It was one of my aspirations when I was at school, but... I don't even know what particle physics is, to be honest. Superb. Well, great. We've covered everything now. I don't know what to talk about.
Go home.
Yeah, let's go home. No, let's not. We've got plenty to talk about. I mean, I'm fascinated. And I come back to this Google thing. You know, I remember when I was at school.
Really?
I won't reveal how many years ago. I just missed out that whole computer thing. Mm. We really didn't have computers at school, and if you did, then it was a treat to get to use them. Now the whole technology thing has gone out the window, as far as I'm concerned.
And quite
quickly
as well.
Massively quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, so rapidly. Mm. The majority of it, I know, is beyond my capability because I can't pick things up, and I watch kids these days and they absolutely blow me away because, I think, how the hell have you just done that? Mm. And, you know, obviously I think gaming has a lot to do with that, and I think they're brought up with it now. Mm. They're brought up with it. Liverpool, sadly, has been recognised as being sort of behind the times, you know. Google are playing a massive part with this pilot project, which, you know, I assume that they're going into schools and they've got an educational programme.
They've got lots planned. Do you know about the juice bars?
Tell us. I've heard about these, but I'm not quite sure what they are. I know people can go in and
they
have
can,
a sort of
they
one-to-one.
You can book appointments and basically sit down with these guys who are extremely savvy about what a website should look like, what it should do, how to get it optimised. Because it's okay having a website. Anyone can have a website. I mean, there's plenty of free templates out there to use. But actually, using it so that it's visible. There's so many websites on the good old wide web out there. So actually having it visible is another matter altogether. And so they're there to help businesses, try and give them some tips, advice on how to optimise the site, and actually to even get people started, because their main aim is to get businesses online.
Okay, and I guess you get a glass of juice while you're there.
Yes, and it's very refreshing.
It's just something Roger just said before, you know, in 5 years' time. Mm. So, you know, the speculation there is that content on videos is going to be enhanced further. We're all, now that we've all got websites, or most of us have got websites, the next stage is going to be integrating video into. You're looking at 5 years down the line. You know, I'm thinking X number of years back, when nothing happened, and all of a sudden we have this absolutely phenomenal phenomenon of the internet.
Roger, it's interesting because this is probably a well-known phenomenon. I came across it recently. This concept of digital natives and digital immigrants, and you and I, being of a certain age, will undoubtedly be digital immigrants. We're coming into that land as foreigners, trying to find our way through it. Digital natives have been born into that land. And so actually young people, it's second nature to them. It isn't second nature to us.
I think what's changing the demographic of everything is actually smartphones, because people are using the phones actually more than they're using the internet at home on the laptop as well. So everything's changing very quickly, and it has to. I mean, QR codes came out last year and...
Of course they did. QR code, Rog. QR code, yeah.
These are little codes which you might see dotted around the city every now and then. And you can actually pop, if you've got a smartphone, an iPhone or BlackBerry, if it's got a QR reader, you can pop your phone over the code and it takes you directly to the website.
I saw one on a poster a while ago. And do you remember those things that you used to have to stare into and it changed?
Yeah.
I spent about 15 minutes staring into this poster before I realised what it was.
Brilliant.
No, I really am showing my age, aren't I?
But there's lots going on, and I think phones, we have to bring phones into the equation, because actually smartphones are kind of changing things even more so.
People are tweeting and Facebooking and all of this, you know, instantly off their phones. Yeah. So, you know, Network communication.
You know, we've been told at Downtown that we have to start tweeting.
Maybe
and I've been tweeting for a while.
Off,
but I haven't got a clue what I'm doing.
Well, you have to come to one of our events.
I thought that was quite rude. I really thought that was quite rude.
The other thing, Roger, is for people who have lives like ours, it's thinking of something to say that the world actually wants to hear.
Yeah, and I can see that you three can't think of anything to say. And on that note, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in a few minutes straight after these messages.
Downtown Liverpool in business. City Talk 105.9.
Right, and welcome back to City Talk's business. And I'm here in the studio with three digital immigrants, apparently. Potentially two natives, but certainly, definitely you and me, Roger, are digital immigrants. Because I haven't got a clue when it... You're talking about smartphones. My phone's really smart. It keeps turning itself off. That really bugs me, actually. You know, as technology goes on, battery life seems to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Mine's quite aerodynamic, my phone. It's flown number of times. You know, it concerns me that the advancement of technology really concerns me. And I think it's because I am a digital immigrant and I just can't keep up. But I guess we have to move over and make way for young... I mean, listen to me, I sound like an old age pensioner. I'm certainly not. I just do, you know, I worry about... I've got 25 remote controls at home and I really don't know what half of them do.
I would just like to say, though, there is plenty of people out there to help businesses who feel the same as you, because you can't afford not to be on top of everything because there's so many affordable ways of marketing your business at a zero cost that is going to help. And you really can't afford to not be on top of these things.
I feel like I'm being told off here.
You are.
No, I mean, I'm an events manager. You'll get onto this. You know, I mean, we use technology all the time. In events, it could be audio visual, it could be sound, it could be the latest LED lights, you know, and that's exciting.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I know how to operate them. You know, I can sit there with a tick list and say, well, yes, I want this to happen and you know, I want it to sound like this and I want it to look like this.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I know how to do it. So I tend to leave it to the younger ones to help me out there. I'm not even going to suggest that you're of an age because you look very, very young.
I thought you were going to say because I was a female.
No, no.
Because the techie side
no,
is usually...
You'll never hear me. You'll never hear me be sexist in any way.
That's great.
Yeah, right. Shut up now. Rog. Christine, seriously, yeah. I mean, you know, there is so much technology
out
there.
No, it's true. It's frightening, isn't it,
yeah,
sometimes?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we get our tech team in, like yourself, to do that stuff, don't you, your production team?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I wish I didn't have to say, you know, that thingy, and I know what I want it to be. Really, no, I wish I'd have listened more in my lighting class at university. But, yeah, and it's so fast-moving, and there's some fantastic things out there in technology that can make things just... blow your mind.
And when you do get used to something, say a fantastic sound mixer, you know,
oh, yeah,
the following year they'll stick another button on it and call it something different.
Yeah,
you know, and I personally struggle with that.
Yeah.
So you know, there's a lot to be said for progress and innovation in design.
Definitely.
I just wish they'd slow down a little bit.
As well. I think
part
of our events, so we introduce social media into our events, so we tweet while we eat, whereas most breakfast networking events will sit down, they'll have a fry up and they'll do the 60 seconds, which is great. We get everybody tweeting to each other, so they're talking on Twitter, and it's encouraging people. It's a great laugh. We do it in Studio 2 first Thursday of every month if you want to come down. And
oh, the cheap
little plug
now. If you tweet when you eat, what do you
tweet.
Do when you text? Let's not go there. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Sorry, I
but yeah, it's about making it fun as well and not seeing it as something so daunting and terrifying.
And do you know what? I think one of the things about film for the internet is that a lot of companies might not actually commission a film because they're concerned about what the process is. They actually don't understand the process. And sometimes they just need to be told, it's a dead simple thing to do, really. Tell us what you want to say and we'll interpret it in film.
Yeah.
And also, the way that technology is changing, you don't make a film anymore. You might make a film which is suitable for the web. There's another version for the phone. There's another version for a corporate event. And actually, the same footage can be cut in lots of different ways. And that's the great thing about the digital content now. It isn't film anymore. It's not even videotape anymore. It's just noughts and ones.
which I guess is you adapting to the innovations that are happening in terms of technology.
Well,
and the way in which technology is used.
Interestingly, if you watch the history of the pop video, you can almost chart the technological changes by the changes in style of pop video. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you go back to Queen singing Bohemian Rhapsody, it looks archaic now.
Yeah.
It looks like it was made it was made last century. and as what you would call digital editing came in, whereby you were no longer editing it on videotape, it was being edited in edit suites. There was different things you could speed things up, slow things down. Mm. You can then bring CGI into it. And so the actual technological change drives the stylistic change at the same time.
I think it was Friday morning, was it, or Thursday morning, there was something on breakfast television, and they had some stormtroopers in the studio, and they various references to Star Wars, and if I'm fascinated by this, because actually if you watch the Star Wars movies and you watch the first one, which was the fourth one, and then you go back and you watch the first one, which was the fifth one, fourth one, I don't know, you know what I mean, don't you? They made it, it was all over the place, but the quality of the technology and the animation and the CGI. It's polar opposite. It's amazing, and it's how fast that's happened. Yeah.
And then the other effect is, because there was something that happened, I think, in the 1980s with desktop publishing. Mm. People could buy a desktop publishing package, and therefore thought they became designers. And now people can buy cheap video cameras and little edit suites for their computers, and they think they've become filmmakers. And so I suspect there'll be an awful lot of films going onto the internet made by companies themselves, which possibly could be better.
Mm. But isn't that always the case?
Well, we spoke about this the other day, didn't we, Roger? Mm. There is actually your makeshift videos that look like they're makeshift videos, and they're acceptable.
And they work, don't they? Yeah.
Some of the ones that are high end, but it's the in between ones where they're trying to be Roger standards with your makeshift. I mean, you can film on an iPad too now. We have some great fun on that at our events, but we're not by any means using it as a corporate video to sell.
Is this going to improve business? I know we touched on that before, but I'm intrigued by this, because I've no doubt that you know, I know that we're going to be working with you, Roger, on certain things. You've been filming Frank McKenna in various places over the Northwest for I guess an insight into downtown.
Yes.
And you know what fired us up was when you came in to talk to us about it, and you'd written a treatment for it, so we kind of knew what we were getting. Mm. And for once in my life, I thought, this is quality downtown video. And I know that we've tried to use video in the past, and sometimes it's just been a static camera pointing at the likes of Tony Wilson doing an interview with Frank or James Barton from Cream or something like that. And it is what it is. But we feel now that we're sort of breaking into new territory for downtown, and that we're going to do exactly what you're saying is, and that's incorporate VT on our website. I need to get to the point. How is it going to benefit us?
Well, I think that at the bottom line, all business is about communication, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And especially your business is very much about communication.
Yeah.
And I think we're moving into an age where people will prefer to watch something than read about it. You know, I almost feel as though the age of the brochure is dead for me. And when you go onto a website and you're looking at it and you see a photograph, you kind of automatically click on it because you expect it to come to life and tell you something. Mm. And I think that film is a really brilliant way of telling stories. And if I kind of had to say what our business really was, it's telling stories. And if you have a story to tell, what better way to do it than through film?
Why do you think it's going to take 5 years to catch on then? Or is that just you speculating in 5 years' time?
I think that's just speculation, because if you look at the development of websites for businesses, as we said, 20 years ago, probably no one had it. It did take quite a while for people to think, actually, this will benefit my business. Mm. And the thing is that businesses need to stop thinking about, let's say, a film on their website as an expense and see it as an investment in their business. And that's the tilting point, I think.
Okay, let's bring Christy in.
Yeah, one thing, just ironically as well, being here at Radio City, that we've not mentioned...
City Talk.
At the Radio
City
Tower.
Same tower,
different station.
Yeah.
At City Talk, is that, you know, the power of the podcaster and also audio is fantastically you know, it's a very good weapon. And I think for people to, you know, there's some people out there, some companies producing some great podcast type work. And again, it's sound, it's storytelling, it's coming to life. It might be video and film, but equally, you know, podcasts and audio messages can also enhance. And that's something that people can also do cheaply and cost effective.
Sales pitches don't work anymore. Gone are the days of being very salesy. It doesn't exist anymore. And bringing that human element into it and making businesses about people as well as the product or the service is what people want to see.
So the face of business is changing.
Yes.
I'm going to throw cat amongst the pigeons slightly here. We've got a filmmaker.
Yes.
We've got an online membership organisation.
Yeah.
And we've also got an events manager. We're looking... We've got the whole gamut, if you like, here of the creative industry. I said recently we had David Piccolini in, and I felt, you know, I felt I was amongst royalty in the great fella. But are we responding to this in educational terms in schools? If it's changing that rapidly,
I think we are. I think a lot of schools are using these kind of multimedia boards to do more creative work with the kids, to getting them out the classrooms and doing stuff. I think schools are getting onto it.
I would say in business we're not, and I think we do need to address this a little bit more. I've been networking in the city for quite some time, and very quickly, you mentioned about technology changing very quickly. Very quickly, people's way of networking face to face has changed dramatically. And that's to do with the recession and people panicking. And there's this sell swoop happened across the city. And we need to get back to basics, actually. We need to get back to the building relationships up, but using technology in building the relationships up. So actually, although I agree with what Christine's saying in regards to the education side at school, yes, it is playing a big role in it, and it is to a degree getting it right, that somewhere along the line, we need to re-educate people on how to talk to each other and how to communicate and how to be, how to make that business personal again.
I reckon you'll agree with me that drama plays a massive part in that in schools.
Oh, absolutely massive. Yeah. Social skills, kind of confidence building.
You know, which is back to basics almost. Absolutely. It's about using your basic ability to speak.
Go on,
Rog. Go on.
I was going to say,
she's talked a lot.
I've actually done some work with a junior school, which is near where I live, Sylvester Junior School in Highton, which is a fabulous school, and they have a media club, and I've been kind of working with 9-10 year old young people to make films. Now, although they think they're making films, they're also discussing ideas, the planning, drawing up storyboards, the communicating with each other. And actually, you could almost say that the process of making a film gives you all the skills Emma's been talking about. Mm. The need to talk with each other, the need to communicate, the need to go outside and speak to people you've never met before. Mm. So actually, for young people to do it, I don't think it's necessarily turning them into filmmakers, but it's turning them into better communicators.
But again, do we focus... I mean, I'm coming back to this thing, are we responding the same way? Do we focus enough... on the, you know, do we focus more on maths? Do we focus more on English literature, sport? When actually this whole new global phenomenon of online, of technology, of social media, is so much more demanding and actually takes a lot more skills. I mean, I know you mentioned before about these digital natives that it comes naturally to kids these days.
It does, but there's a difference between being able to use something and then use it properly, because there's ways in which we've all got the ability to use Facebook in business, for instance, but whether we actually use it to an advantage to help our business is completely different. And I do think that at college level, that businesses, and this is kind of my thoughts, it might not be everybody else's, but I'm big on the mentoring side of it. And I know the Chamber are really getting involved with this now, in business owners mentoring new businesses. Well, I'm really an advocate for business owners going into colleges and mentoring at college level, and not when they're about to go into business.
Are you finding that the older generation are quite sceptical about all of this? Do you find it that they find it harder to accept the technology?
They are, to a degree, and understandably, I understand why that is. But the problem is the communication all round. It's not just communicating with technology or communicating in face-to-face. It's incorporating it all and being able to communicate. Nobody picks the phone up anymore. They go to networking events and then they drop someone an email.
Okay, right. Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It's one of our gripes, you know, that people don't converse anymore. You send the email and wait for it. And you know, I mean, again, downtown is something we advocate, phone conversations, mm-hmm. because it's direct, you can answer, you're not having to wait for emails. And it's something that we're having to adapt to, I think, more and more. Because we, you know, the overuse of email is, I think it's ridiculous. I blame people when they don't get back to me, or it tells me that they're not here till the 25th or the 26th of October.
The other thing, you know, Roger, is if you send an email, you can pretend you've done something.
Absolutely. Don't tell Frank that, for God's sake. I send millions of emails every day. Well, absolutely fascinating, guys. We've run out of time. I didn't get half through of what I wanted to do. Everybody, thank you for listening. I, you know, thank you to Christine, thank you to Emma, and thank you to Roger. We're going to have to leave it there. Have a great Sunday, the rest of the weekend, and don't forget, don't do anything Frank wouldn't do.
Downtown Liverpool in business. City Talk 105.9. Listen and log on to great music and great conversation on City Talk 105.9.